listening to the Social Media Church Podcast, the place for conversations with church leaders about social media. This is episode number 52, and I'm your host, DJ Chuang. And on today's episode, my special guest is Andrew Hansen. He is the communication director at South Hills Church in Corona, California. And I found his blog post series on his personal blog very intriguing, as he is working on a master's degree, a master's of integrated marketing communication at West Virginia University, taking an online course for that. And he posted a number of blog entries in a series titled Emerging Media Church Social Strategy. And I'm going to read an excerpt from one of his blog posts about church social media strategies. Here's what Andrew Hansen wrote. I've read countless articles on social media strategy over the past few years, and there is quite a bit of agreement regarding best practices. The problem I found is that much of the advice out there is written in about as generic of language as possible. Today we're going to look at two major strategies for your church or ministry as you continue to develop your online presence. Number one, give your visitors an inside look at your community. If someone isn't already a part of your community, show them what they're missing. While news and updates are certainly important, social networks provide us the unique opportunity to post dynamic content online that will spur discussion and excitement. But how exactly can we do this? Pictures. We all love to people watch to some capacity, whether a potential visitor is church shopping or just doing their own thing online. Chances are they will stop to observe the people you post on your social media account. Show the diversity of your congregation, young and old, different races, families, single people, rich and poor. If it's a unique demographic, show it. Video. People love a good video. Whether you're recording your sermon or creating custom content, even weekly announcements, dynamic media will engage your base. Of course, a certain level of quality needs to be maintained, but once you get that down, it's a matter of variety. Post any and all special videos shown during service. Get video of the band during rehearsal. Record people answering a question in your lobby directly related to that weekend's sermon. There are countless things people will be interested in. Number two, give your congregation tools to evangelize online. Create images with powerful quotes from your weekend sermon to post online. Create promotional videos for your church events that will actually excite someone who doesn't go to your church. Kill your inside language so that any content released online has the opportunity to connect with more than just your existing congregation. Ultimately, it's important for you to equip your congregation with the tools they need to reach their friends online. By posting a cool video of yours, they can open the door to a conversation that could change a person's life. The communications and media department of a church is a ministry. Your work opens doors. And never forget that. That and a number of other posts caught my attention, and so I connected with Andrew Hansen and recorded this conversation with him to get an inside look at his thinking about using social media as a communications director, how his studies are going. We cover some issues related to copyrights and legal matters when it comes to social media, and a number of other topics as we learn about social media and how South Hills Church and Corona is using it. So let me switch over, and here's my conversation with Andrew Hansen of South Hills Church. DJ Chuang here today. I'm talking with Andrew Hansen, who is the new communications director at South Hills Church in, I believe that is Corona, California, correct?
Yep.
Super. And how long have you been working there?
I came on board full-time the last week of November as the communications director here, yeah.
Oh, that's longer than I thought. For some reason, I was thinking it was just a few weeks.
Well, last week I had my role adjusted, and so I'm now the creative arts director for the entire campus. So I oversee communications still as my main deal, but I also have tech and worship reporting up to me now as well.
Wow. You've got a lot of ground to cover. When I saw your research project from your studies at West Virginia University, I was really intrigued, and I wanted to chat with you about your learnings from your paper there about emerging media, church social media strategy.
Yeah.
So tell us about the project and what were some of the top learnings?
Yeah, so I'm currently getting my master's degree in integrated marketing communication through West Virginia University Online. And so one of the classes that I was in required that we have a blog. Now, I had already had one kind of going, but this ended up being the extra push to actually update the content to it, which is funny because after that, I haven't actually updated it since the middle of March, but working to get that revamped and move in here. But the project itself was just taking major issues within emerging media and discussing their application within the business world. And so for me, in the church context, it was an opportunity to take current trends and current issues with legal and apply them into a church context, because I think a lot of times that's missing from the church voice. We don't always think about some of those newer opportunities that are out there because they tend to have such a corporate slant to them, but there's still plenty of opportunities for us to take advantage of those and apply them into a ministry world.
Okay, so talk to us about that. What are those additional opportunities and things churches should be thinking about?
Okay, yeah, so a lot of the stuff centers around taking a look at the different media that's out there and finding a way to create an integrated approach to them. So rather than just saying, you know, we need to have a presence solely on Facebook or solely on Twitter or, you know, a combination of different social media channels, it's saying, how can we create an opportunity to integrate different mediums within themselves so that we can create a more full experience for somebody who's checking out our church? And so understanding the different components that go into that, for instance, a lot of churches are starting to seem to realize that video is a huge opportunity for them, because not only are we engaging them through messaging that's being crafted well in advance, we're able to put faces and sounds to it in a way that we haven't been able to do in the past with just, you know, straight websites alone, that maybe you're allowed to put a picture to it. But being able to create a full experience that allows people to hear the voice of your church is a huge win. And so finding a way to allow those videos to reflect your church's kind of style, your church's voice in general, being able to put that online and creating a system that allows it to fully make its way around the internet so that the people that are within your community are able to find it. And so a lot of opportunities that we have been finding here at South Hills has been through taking video and then sending it through targeted Facebook ads and finding a way to, rather than just, you know, throw the advertisement out there for anybody to see, which would be effectively taking church tithing dollars and you know, maybe only advertising the people on the other side of the country who can't attend our church on a regular basis, we're able to take this messaging and funnel it to people that are within specific zip codes or, you know, specific interests that maybe this video will connect to them. We can try and connect it through existing fans of our Facebook page. We can try and hit up all the friends that are in their networks that we may not have direct access to otherwise. And the goal of it all is to create conversation at the end of the day, saying that, you know, I see that you're linked to this church, and I saw the video and it made me think this or that, like, can you tell me more about it? And the biggest win from the church context is that we've then empowered our people to evangelize on behalf of Jesus Christ to their friends, to their neighbors, to say like, oh yeah, this is what we believe. This is the way that we approach that at our church. And you may have had other experiences, but hey, take a look at another video that they've got up there and you can get some of those questions answered. So it's all about trying to find different avenues like this to create conversation. And right now our big kick is video and trying to figure out how we can more visually tell that story. But there's a lot of other opportunities out there too with, you know, different blogs that churches are starting to run. I think Mars Hill is probably one of the best out there. If you look at MarsHill.com, they have a devotion that's posted, I think, once a day. And not everybody has the ability to push out content like that. A lot of smaller churches probably are like swallowing right now in a little bit of pain thinking about the idea of having to produce that much content. But there are opportunities for that kind of dialogue that blogs create for churches to join in on that and find a way to produce content to send out there. And I think a lot of it just requires that we find a better way to empower our congregation to volunteer and serve within the communication roles that churches either have or they haven't thought about needing yet or haven't figured out how the best way to do it, but probably should take the time and take, you know, the expense of pulling your people aside and really brainstorming through that.
Well, I can tell you've given this a lot of thought and study, and you have a context where you can actually apply it too. So this is pretty, pretty awesome. Now, one of the things you noted in your latest post from that paper is most church communication departments, if they even have one, are understaffed and underfunded. And when they're faced with the internet where they have so many options, it's kind of paralyzing on how to even get started. So as you came on staff at South Hills, how did you start and what part of your role became developing this integrated communication message?
Oh man, you know, it's interesting because I think that a lot of churches, you know, they don't necessarily realize how much they need this role. I was talking to a friend of mine down at New Break Church, which is based out of San Diego, and they're a multi-site out there. And you know, we always kind of laugh about it because there are times where we think like, oh man, I can't imagine not being in it, you know, not having a church that would fund this kind of role. Because it can look from a distance being, you know, this, this like marketing, you know, only type of thing. And, you know, that it seems like a, you know, an extra expense, like it's not one of the necessities, but if you do it correctly, I think that it's a matter of just, identifying what, that role needs to be, to better serve the needs of your church and equip them. I think that was the biggest thing that when I stepped in, I was thinking to myself, like, how can I create content that not only helps promote our church outward, you know, within the community, but also provides content and opportunity for our existing congregation to do it themselves. And that's a big thing here at South Hills. We're saying, you know, we want our volunteers to do everything. We want our congregation to take the reins and own the church just like they did back in, you know, the days of Jesus, which was, you know, or after that, you know, in the book of Acts, like these people were meeting in all of their homes and the church grew because they talked about it. And so the media that we get to produce is kind of like icing on the cake. It's modern tools in a modern era where we get to, you know, equip people to share the gospel in, you know, this digital world, in addition to creating any kind of printed materials or giving them, you know, good suggestions and things to say outwardly. So when I came on staff here, the idea of like an integrated approach is one that can still even be slightly overwhelming for one person. So if anybody out there is listening that is, you know, a part-time person even in their role, it's still doable. And it's just a matter of figuring out how to do it at the scale that's most appropriate for your church. And so for us, it was a matter of sitting back and thinking about what are different tools that we can throw on the social media that will allow our congregation to share the message for us so that we don't have to be the ones that are constantly updating or constantly spending money on Facebook advertising or any other kind of online advertising or billboard or anything like that. And in more suburban areas, I kind of question whether or not any sort of outdoor advertising actually has a purpose, you know, on billboards or bus stops or things like that. But someone probably could push back on me and get me to lighten up on that idea. But the fact is that, you know, in a suburban area like the Inland Empire of Southern California, we don't have a lot of places where you can see an advertisement walk past you. And most churches can't afford, you know, a lot of mass broadcasting, you know, advertisements as well through television or radio. So what we're left with is creating tools online to allow people to reach out through their existing networks of friends through Facebook or Twitter or Google+. So one of the big things that I tried to do right away was take key points from our message each weekend that our pastor said, and then we would create graphics that were shareable and instruct our congregation to like take those graphics and either share them directly on their profiles or to share them on somebody else's profile that they think would benefit a lot from it. And it helps us out, you know, it's helped us out a lot in terms of engagement. We're seeing our numbers on Facebook, especially with the number of likes on, you know, our posts going up. And when you highlight the metrics on the actual page, it lets us know too, like how much of this is, you know, direct like fan engagement and how much of it is viral, which means that, you know, it's popping up on news feeds of people that may not even be connected to our page. And since we started doing that, and since we, you know, started refining exactly what kinds of messages would engage our congregation and the public the best, we actually have seen those numbers go up a lot as well. And then we took a lot of time to say, you know what, people like stories. At the end of the day, it's about, you know, being able to tell a good story. And all of us, I think that, you know, our faith and believe that Jesus Christ is our Savior, I think we can all testify to, you know, the story that our lives can tell. And so it's a matter of taking the time to record those. And so the biggest challenge we've had has been saying, all right, how do we collect these stories and then communicate them in a way that's effective? And so highlighting our volunteers through graphics, taking their photos and uploading them and sharing what they do and sharing how serving at our church has impacted them has been really helpful. We've taken the time to really try and refine how we do testimony videos. Rather than going for much longer videos, we're starting to look at making all of them between 2 and 3 minutes so that we can accomplish more videos and be able to put more and more out there so that we can have, you know, a bunch of stories that can meet different people right where they're at. So I think that was kind of the beginning stages of when I came on board here. And since then, obviously, with my role expanding, it's been a matter of saying, okay, now how can we take those communication pieces and continue that story once they're in the seats here on the weekend during the service? And so that's our next big challenge, is saying, like, how do we frame that and create one cohesive storyline from the street to the seat?
From the street to the seat. Oh, that's a great little tweetable saying. That's very good. So let's help our listener get a context for what the story of your church is about that you're trying to be consistent in telling in many ways, as well as integrating it through multiple channels. So you're one church, many campuses, and you have an online campus as well. So what is South Hills about, and what is the message you're trying to convey?
Yeah, so South Hills is an interesting church. We're doing things that I haven't actually seen done in a lot of other churches, and there are times where it's really, really exciting, and then there are times where we're all pulling our hair out trying to figure out how to do it. But we started 15 years ago in the here in Corona, California. It was a small church plant that Pastor Chris and Laura Songson founded within the Masonic Lodge, which is just down the street from where our Main Street campus currently is. And it was funny because he tells stories about how they would have to, you know, mop up every Sunday morning all the beer off of the floor in order to be able to hold services in there. And so over time, the church grew. And then back in 2005, I believe our doors opened here at our Main Street campus. And since then, we've been very focused on creating additional campuses within the area. And so we have a second campus that meets about a mile and a half down the 15 freeway from here, which is called Venue 2. And they meet within within the Marquee 15, which is a local nightclub. And so they meet in there. So it's a set up and tear down each week kind of on campus. And then we have our Riverside campus, which we adopted back in 2011. And so with the way we describe, you know, kind of how we take on campuses now, because we've now grown to 7 campuses since then. We have 2 campuses in San Antonio, Texas, one of which is a full-fledged existing church that was through a lot of our coaching was at about, I think they're at about 400 to 450 right now. And then they just planted a campus in Northwest San Antonio. And so they're just getting started right now with their core group. And then we have our Montana campus in Missoula, Montana, which is a campus of about 100, 120. And then we have our Burbank campus, which is actually a campus that was getting ready to shut down. Well, it's an existing church that was getting ready to shut down. And then we came in and we're currently in the process of finding a pastor for it. And then we'll be growing that campus out. And so we kind of either take an existing campus or rather an existing church and we adopt them and bring them into kind of our culture and help them grow. or we plant a campus from scratch, which is kind of what we're doing with our Northwest San Antonio campus, or I guess the best word we could use would be resurrect a campus, which this is extremely rare, to find a church that was on the verge of shutting down, and then now we're stepping in to help support them and keep them alive and build it to be a part of the South Hills family. And so the best way we could describe our culture here is, you know, we take God seriously and sometimes just about nothing else. And so that's reflected in a lot of our media. We had a really, really popular video called Like a Christian that we did, which was based off of a Saturday Night Live digital short called Like a Boss. Now that one goes, you know, really weird places, but the overall concept was super funny. And so we applied it to the Christian vernacular and found ways to kind of poke fun at, you know, the popular things that Christians like to do. And so we created that video and got great feedback on that. And that was our big aha moment of 2013, which was like, let's keep creating this type of content. And so most of our lead-in videos to our sermons have a humorous touch to them. We're very photo-driven and because we care so much about our people. And so more than anything else, we are very clear that our mission is to lead unchurched people with a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And so whatever we can do to reach the unchurched of our communities, whether it be here in Southern California or in Texas or in Montana or wherever else God leads us, we will do whatever it takes to reach them. And so it means, you know, sometimes doing things that are a little bit bizarre. We have no problem making videos that are a little bit not your normal standard church fare. We have no problem making the lights do a few extra things or turning the bass up really loud. And an example of that was we got a lot of complaints earlier this year about the bass being up too loud. And so our response to that was we bought 2 earplug dispensers, and we've now placed those in the lobby, which are free for our congregation to use. So that's gone over well. We're going through those pretty quickly with some of our older members, but we have a lot of people that are from every generation here now that are just all about what we're doing. And so it's great being able to have that voice here in the city of Corona and all the other cities that we're in now as well.
Wow, what an amazing church. You're not only many campuses in a region, you're already in 3 states, and you're having to integrate your communication in terms of multiple social media channels and internet channels, as well as multiple campuses. So how do you think of, what is your philosophy of managing these different campuses? Because there's some communication that may be very local, and then some that should transcend all of South Hills. Give us a 90-second snapshot of how you manage multiple campuses with communication.
Yeah, so we try and have a point person at every single campus, and I'm the only communications person at any campus right now that's, you know, a paid staff member. And so we have volunteers at every campus, or it's a part of somebody else's role. And then their responsibility is to recruit volunteers that can help do the work for them that are from the congregation, because we want to do as much as we can to empower them, which is scary at the same time, too, because it's our voice. This is our only voice into the outside world sometimes, which is, you know, through our social media channels, our website, or what have you. And so the biggest thing that we can do from where I sit here in Corona is we send out emails to the campuses for every series that allows them to know what the major initiatives are, what we, you know, they have to promote, what they have to announce, what they need to play within their service. And then we provide them a list of, you know, what we call maybes. So the overall grid is kind of our must and maybes grid. And so the maybes are just suggestions. We provide different graphics or templates to them so that they can update their social media outlets the way that they see fit, especially because we have teaching pastors at every campus, which is what makes us a little bit different than most multi-sites. There's no, we don't have any video venues at this point. Not, we might in the future, but right now every campus has their own teaching pastor. And so they are all going to take a different take on the same message. And so that is where it becomes a little complicated, to where like the oversight of communication can become a little bit more sticky. So a lot of it is just providing people basic outlines, a basic understanding of what the voice of South Hills is, and making sure they understand our DNA, and then empowering them to be the church and activate other people in their congregation to better connect with the people in their local communities.
Well, the more I hear about your church, the more intrigued I am with it. So this is this might have to be one of many conversations. We'll see how the feedback is from our listeners. But thank you so much for sharing and pulling back the curtain on some of the very creative and different kind of things that you're doing. I'm really blessed to hear of the creativity that's stirring there at South Hills.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, let me wrap up with this. I think I heard you right. You mentioned there were also legal issues involved when it comes to producing media online. What might those be?
Yeah. So I think a lot of times the church seems to think that they can't be seen. We take that whole "not of this world" verse in the Bible and run with it. And the fact is, we're subject to the same legal issues that any other nonprofit or for-profit organization would be. It's a little bit different depending on what it is, based off of your nonprofit status, but there are a few things that ring true across the board. And so I think there's a tendency within the local church to take a video that we found off the internet or take music that we found from, you know, a popular artist and then apply it to our videos. And so we fall prey to this as well. So I'm not going to make it sound like we haven't done that here, but we're slowly working to get all of our media and communication pieces to have original content or royalty-free content attached to it, which means like we're not taking little bits of other videos or illegally downloading any sort of stock footage to put in our videos. It means, you know, buying the music and buying the rights to the music on top of that if you're distributing these videos online. If you're only showing your videos within a service, you're probably fine. But if you're, you know, trying to, and hopefully you're trying to release this content online so that people in your local communities can find it, you got to be a lot more careful nowadays about making sure that you're using non-copyrighted material that you have the rights to. Otherwise, you know, you're subject to any of the other legal proceedings that any other organization could fall prey to. And so I think churches need to start paying a little bit, or not a little bit, a lot more attention to that and finding ways to get that content. And there's a lot of cheap ways to do it. There's websites like Pond5, Shutterstock for any stock photos that you might need. And there's a bunch of stock photo companies. And then, you know, even companies like Vimeo now are providing opportunities to either download royalty-free music for free, or you can pay and buy the rights to it for like 99 cents or $2. So it's very affordable for churches. They just have to do a little bit of extra work now that they probably didn't have to do in years past.
Wow. Fascinating web of new territory to figure out, because when it comes to laws and copyrights, it can be multi-layers of paperwork and research to try to get everything lined up. And maybe one of the shortcuts is just to find the creative people and unleash them in your own community and create original content.
Yeah, definitely.
Great. Well, Andrew, so good to connect with you. Thank you for sharing some insights you've gotten from your studies and from your experience at South Hills Church.
Yeah, thank you for having me, DJ.
That was my conversation with Andrew Hansen of South Hills Church in Corona, California. You can connect with Andrew and check the show notes for things that were mentioned on this conversation, on this episode of the Social Media Church, at our website, socialmediachurch.net. And you can connect with Andrew, add a comment, and would love to hear from you as you think about how you are using social media in your church. Would love to have you share that with us here on this podcast. You can leave a message on Facebook, on our Facebook page, Social Media Church. You can do a search for that or click on our website, socialmediachurch.net, and click on the Facebook icon. You can tweet a comment to me or even text in your comment or call in your comment. So whether you want to text or call, you can do that on our hotline. The number is 949-354-3216. Would love to hear from you. Make this truly a conversation, an interactive learning experience so that we all learn together as these new technologies keep developing and adjusting to keep us engaged with each other and potentially with advertisers, since most of these free social media platforms are advertiser funded. And as you hear the bumper music in the background,
that's our indication that this episode is winding up towards the end. So let me wrap that up. Again, connect with me. My name is DJ Chuang on the Social Media Church Podcast, the place for conversations with church leaders about social media. Our website is socialmediachurch.net. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Rate and review us there so others can find us. Subscribe, listen, and join the conversations. Until next time, we'll stay connected online.